This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Today's top comment comes from XBreeX. It says, "A lot of podcasts make me cringe or I find them boring. Megan and her guests are a delight to listen to. I'm always playing this podcast while cooking or in the shower. Such a pleasant listen." And since you said that, here's something that you might cringe at. "If you want to view paradise." Leave your comment for a chance to be read on a future episode of Just a Tip. I'm going to be continuously picking my favorite ones, so go out there and make it funny.
2, 3, 4. If you're looking for advice from a real girl who might not have the answers, but goddamn she'll try, just a tip, then you'll be on your way. With Meg and Batoon on Friday.
Welcome to Just a Tip, an advice podcast hosted by me, Megan Batoon. I recently started calling my cats Pooch Face Killer, so that's why I have a sane friend here to help me help you. Daniel Cloud Campos, hi.
Hi.
How
Megan?
Are you?
Good. Thanks for having me. Everybody says that, right, when you get on here? Thanks for having me.
I guess. Isn't that weird? Like, there's nothing else that you can say, though.
Yeah.
Because you're like, yeah, like, thanks for being here. You're like, you're welcome?
Yes.
There's nothing else you can say. It has to be thanks.
I'm happy to be here.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I should use that. The other day, I was house shopping with a friend, and we walked in, and this guy was not welcoming at all to us. And so we walked in, and we were like, "Hi, how are you?" And he was like, "I'm well. I hope you're well also."
Ooh.
And then went back to do his own thing. And we were like, oh, that's one way to shut someone up instantly.
Yeah. He did not even give you a chance to respond.
Yeah, he was like, "I hope you're well.
Hope you're well."
Oh. Oh.
That's funny.
Okay.
That's good, actually. I should use that.
Really
I
intense.
I like talking to people. No,
yeah.
I'm kidding.
I'm kidding. We quick internet stalked you. We found out that you were born without a pulse. Is that true?
Ooh. Where'd you find that?
I don't know.
Well, I did post it on my Instagram.
So I guess
so maybe
it was...
it's that. Yeah, yeah. I was actually born. I was pretty much. Yeah, I didn't have a pulse. I was dead.
Holy crap.
It came out, yeah.
And then the doctor brought you back to life?
Extreme. Yeah, it took him like 5 minutes. Because the umbilical cord.
Oh!
Umbilical cord,
yeah. That was like around my neck. So, and I was like a little late. I came out and I was like my I looked like a fish. That's what my mom said. Like my skin was scaly. I was like blue.
No.
Yeah, and it took them like 5 minutes to bring me back.
How they, just like unwrapping the cord? Or
yeah,
like
they unwrapped it. And I don't know exactly how they did it. I think, I want to say they like did CPR or they.
Whoa.
I don't actually remember exactly.
Well, obviously, why would you? You were dead.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think that's when they like spank the baby really hard. I think that happens not regularly.
I guess I've died a lot in my childhood then.
Damn.
I got spanked hella. Did you? You didn't get spanked as a kid?
I think it's
for punishment.
I got other things.
Like what?
Like my dad would use his knuckle.
Yeah.
And hit you on top of the head. You never did that? Got that? The Filipino family?
No. The most Filipino thing my family did was call me with this.
Yeah.
You ever get
called? Yeah, my dad does that. My dad does that too.
I remember.
Hey, don't do that.
I would get lost in the grocery store and my mom would be like, Megan. And I wouldn't answer. And then she'd be like, and I would instantly be like a little
crazy?
Raccoon. Yeah.
It's like you're trained to like
Truly.
Go off. It's like our cell phones.
Yeah.
When that bling goes off, you go.
When the bling goes off.
Yeah.
There, I met some person that was like trying to become more intuitive. And they were like, when the phone goes off, imagine who it is. Like, don't look at it until you know inside of your mind who you think it is.
Oh.
And you can, I guess, develop your intuition a little bit more by being like, and when it's like, ding, and she's like, oh, okay, I think Cloud is texting me. And then if it was you, then it's like, ooh, I'm developing my intuition.
Your intuition. Oh, That's interesting.
I wonder if it works. I've never tried. I'm a little too antsy.
I mean, I do get those things where, like, you think of somebody and that person texts you.
Dude, that's so cool.
Yeah. Well, because brainwaves are kind of similar as, like, you know.
Audio waves? Like,
yeah.
Everything is energy. That's the coolest thing ever.
I know.
Truly. Yeah. Like, honestly, I could talk forever about energy. It's so sick, though. Truly.
No, it's really dope.
I'm getting upset.
It's kind of mind-blowing when you think about it. Like, I try not to because I get, like, overwhelmed when I think about what is actually happening in the universe.
Yeah.
And how much we don't think about it. And yeah. It's, like, never ending.
Well, like, even the chairs we're sitting on are atoms, but they're just hugging each other.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And we're not actually touching it.
Our atoms are touching the chair.
No,
atoms.
Actually, there's always space in between.
You're right.
Everything.
There's always space.
That's crazy. So we're like levitating.
Whoa.
That's tight. We got magic. Superheroes.
That is wild. This, although I wish it were, it is not a podcast about science or atoms or physics. It's an advice podcast, and you send us questions that you're going through, sticky situations in your life that you're asking us to help you out of. We don't know if we can help you, but we're going to try our best. And are you equipped to at least try?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking to the audience. Yes, I'm equipped.
You're equipped. All right.
I don't know.
We're going to jump in and see what people are going through.
Okay.
All right. Put yourself back in your high school years. Okay? Ooh. Your high school mentality. Here we go. I'm a senior in high school, and there's a girl I've had a crush on for about 2 years now. I was talking to one of my oldest friends from the sixth grade about it and found out that he also has feelings for her. I want to be a good friend, but I really like this girl. Do you think I should take a chance and ask her out or stick to the bro code and walk away? From Guy Talk.
Damn.
Uh-oh. Did you ever like a girl that your brother, that a friend also liked?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That happened. Yeah, that happened a lot.
He's like, this was yesterday.
Yeah.
Wait, so what happens?
No, it's tricky. It's a very tricky situation.
Because she's only going to like one person, right? She could like both, I guess.
Yeah. And, I think girls like the attention of both having an option. I don't know.
True. That's true.
Is it true?
I get, yeah. If two, of course we want more people to like us.
Yeah.
But
they get to choose.
Yeah, that's the bad really part.
Like. Yeah. But the guys don't have the choice.
What do you mean?
Well, if it's two guys and one girl, they don't have... Like, yeah. It's not up to them. It's up to the girl.
That's... What would you do anything in order to get ahead to make the girl fall in love with you more than the other person?
No, I've never been somebody to compete with my friends. Like, I always like to get it worked out the way it does. And I usually lose every time because, like, I never make any moves. So then even if the girl likes me... Like,
yeah.
I had this happen to me so many times with my friends. Like... I had girls that liked me, but I'm shy and I don't approach or make any moves because it's not my thing.
Yeah.
But my friends are. They're really aggressive. And so they get confused, like, maybe he doesn't like me, so I guess I'll go with the one that's being aggressive.
Right.
So I always like, and I'm like, damn.
I know.
Yeah,
that's
it's kind of
sucks
whack.
About not telling people when you like them. I do that all the time. I never tell people when I like them.
No.
That's why I'm single.
Yeah, same.
But have you always been shy?
Yeah.
Like,
I just...
childhood?
I've been shy, but when I look back now, it was more like a game. It was like a mysterious thing that I like played to make people interested.
And then they were just like, I'm confused.
Yeah. I mean, they're confused, but they're like interested. You know what I mean? They're
right.
Like, why is he so like mysterious? How come he doesn't talk that much? And why is he always in a corner working on something? Like, what is he doing over there? You know, like, and I know I was kind of a little bit aware of that. Like, I knew I was getting, like, some sort of attention or, like, around me.
Yeah.
And I was using it. I was kind of clever in that way. Like, I would let things come to me, like, organically without doing anything.
Sure.
Like, I was very popular in school, but I had no friends.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was really weird.
How does that work?
I don't know. Everyone knew my name. when I walk down the hall, people go, Campos. And I'm like, hey, man. And I just keep walking. But I think because the dancing aspect.
When did you start dancing?
I was 11.
Why did you start dancing?
I saw it at a bowling alley one day.
A bowling alley?
Yeah, my dad was like a professional bowler. And he was in the military, so we would every Monday we would go to a bowling alley and he'll bowl in the league and I would be outside playing. And then I saw these guys in a circle and I thought it was a fight.
Yeah.
But they were actually just breaking and I was like, whoa. And I was with my brother. I was like, Kevin, you see that? And he's like, yeah, that's called breakdancing. And I'm like, how do you know? And he goes, because I know how to do it.
No.
And my brother knew how to do it. It was like, and he was like my superhero at that moment. It was dope.
That's really sick. Cool. And then so instantly you're like, I need to learn how to do that.
Yeah, instantly. It was like the only first time in my life I was like, that's what I want to do.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was cool.
That's wild.
But we went off topic.
That is the topic, to go off topic.
Oh, is that what this is about? Okay, no, cool.
You're fine. That's so cool. I wanted to learn how to dance because I saw an NSYNC Madison Square Garden video.
Oh, shit. I had an NSYNC day, NSYNC, like, whole phase.
What do you mean?
Like, I was so into them.
Like, how into them?
Like, I would dress up. Not like them, but I would, like, make my own clothes. Like, I had a group of friends that were, like into it.
And we
made our own clothes, rhinestones, and, like... And, like, we knew the choreography. It was crazy.
I learned how to do choreography from playing it in slow motion and learning how to do it and then playing in fast motion and then doing
it really?
Along with it. Yeah.
Wow. I could see that. I could see you doing that. How
old
were you?
That's so wild. I don't really know. I guess I was, like, maybe in the sixth grade. So how old are you when you're in the sixth grade? Like, 11?
Okay.
Yeah, I guess we're kind of the same age then.
I was in high school.
But I didn't start taking class until I was 18.
Right.
Because I didn't know that existed.
Right. And how old are you now?
27.
Okay.
How old are you?
35.
Cool. I love that like we're friends and we don't know.
I don't know.
Isn't that weird? Like I don't ask any of my friends how old they are. I think a lot of my friends are different ages than they are.
Right.
I'm you're 25. And she's like, no, I'm your age. I'm like, oh, yeah. You just look 25. And I'm like winking. Yeah, I knew that.
And you basically have their energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do that a lot.
Dang. Okay, back on topic.
Okay.
This is not about NSYNC.
This is about that whole
liking the
thing.
Same girl. I don't know if two girls have... You know what? This has happened to me.
Two girls have liked the same guy?
And honestly...
This happened.
I'm mad.
That happens a lot.
Two girls liking the same guy?
Yeah.
Really?
Doesn't...
On your end? It's only happened to me one time, and it has made my life very different. Because someone was like, basically, we both thought the same guy was cute, and she was like, I called dibs. And I was like, well...
Oh, she said it.
Yeah, I was like, well, I guess she called dibs, so I can't. But, like, I could have. But in the back of my mind, dibs. And why is a 27-year-old, like, obeying to dibs?
Oh, is this... Recently.
I mean, a couple years ago. But still, I'm not 12.
Yeah.
Dibs, I mean, I guess dibs do
matter.
No,
dibs is like in high school thing. And it's like, yeah.
But I really obey it.
You obeyed it.
I did.
Well, yeah, because, and that automatically puts the whole situation like upside down.
It's weird then. They put all the cards out and then you're like, do I want to burn your cards or do I want to respect them?
Right, because what they're really saying is, like, we're going to test your friendship right now. I call dibs. I want to see what you do. What's your move? It's really, like, it's kind of messed up.
It is.
Instead of just letting it happen well, it happens.
And now we both don't have this guy.
Exactly. Because he probably liked you or...
I wish he did.
Oh.
What? But that's for another time.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
I couldn't imagine being on the guy because bro code, I feel like, has more weight than girl code doesn't really exist.
Really?
It exists, but not. It's not called bro code.
Well, it's what's governing you accepting the dibs.
Right. It's an unspoken bro code. It's a unagi female code. We don't have to say it. It's a telepathic bond that we don't need to bring up a bro code. We just get it. Even if my friend is looking at a guy, I look the other way. And I go, you get it, girl.
Really? It's just like, yeah.
Yeah, it's just...
Do you base it off depending on how you are in your life? Like, actually, I'm good. You could have it.
You can have it.
Yeah. Do you they're like, yeah, I'm good with myself. I don't need that. Like, it'll be selfish of me because I know she would need it more than I do. So do you do it like that?
That's nice. Yeah. I think I just do it in a way of like, I don't want to fight about this. So go for it.
Right. And there's so many other men in the world.
Yeah, I mean, there are, but, like, there's not.
Right. There's only, yeah. I guess, yeah, it depends on the situation, I think.
Right. And their situation is they're wanting to know if they should ask her out or stick to the bro code and just leave. But he's had a crush on her for 2 years, but his best friend is from sixth grade and they're a senior in high school. So, like, that's a bro, like, for real. They've been together forever. Like, I mean, it's always just talk to them. But I wonder if this guy has talked to his friend and been like, what do you think?
Right. Have they both? It depends on if they're both honest with each other and how they're talking about this situation with each other about the girl. Do they both know that they both like her?
The guy that wrote in said that he was talking to the other friend and found out that he has feelings. So maybe they didn't talk about it, and this guy has just learned about it. And so he's the one
stopping it.
Yeah, because the other guy is super oblivious. He doesn't know that they both have feelings for her.
I mean, the first thing in any relationship between them two, they got to be honest with each other. They got to be like, look, I know you said you liked her, but I do too. So I don't know.
So let's fight.
Yeah.
Is that what happens?
I brought these brass knuckles. You and I could put them on. Just go for it.
Even in a fight, you're still providing them with something.
Yeah. Being brass knuckles always solves everything. But I don't know. I think really at the end of the day, it's not up to them. And it's up to the girl. And like, if you are a good friend and the girl happens to like your friend, you have to be happy for him, right? Instead of like hate him because she ended up liking him. That's all jealousy and ego and insecurities. Like, that has nothing to do with friendship.
Right.
Anymore.
But who goes first to tell the girl that they, because both, I don't think she knows either of them like her.
Yeah. What's her name?
Kimberly.
No, that was insane. I don't know. I guess it depends on who's the bigger person to be like, because I've been in a situation and I've said, why don't you tell her and then see what happens?
Yeah.
See what she says instead of trying to let things happen and go the way they do.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, then it's like, well, I don't want to do that. I just want it to like happen, like see how things happen organically. And I'm like, okay. But what if it goes a different way and she starts organically liking me?
Yikes.
And then what? And I don't know. It's such a tricky, and I've gotten to really bad situations because of it.
What would you do if you're in this position? You liked this girl, but you found out your best friend also likes her.
I'll probably step back from everything and let everything happen organically.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I would do. I wouldn't try to force anything because that's me as a person. Like, I never tried to force anything or try to plan anything to happen, like, and strategically try to move things around. I just try to let things happen organically. And if it happens to be that she's with him, then great.
Yeah. But you liked her for 2 years. Oh, if I like somebody for 2 years and saw my best friend with them, because then you're going to have to be around them because that's your best friend. And if they get together, obviously, like, your best friend's going to want their best friend to meet the girlfriend. And then you're going to be like, oh, my God, this hurts every single time.
But I feel like things change, like friendships change, like you meet new friends, I think when you move forward in your life, you have to look out for like what is serving you in the end of the day. And if that friendship has to end because you just can't be around it, it has nothing to do with them. It just happens to do with your own sanity and like becoming, I don't know, like it's not the end of the world.
What would be the end of the world?
It's not, because it really isn't. It really isn't the end of the world.
I mean, yeah, there's gonna be more girls, but what if this is the one? Does that exist?
If they are the one, then they'll be the one eventually.
All right. I hope you're right.
Organically.
Organically.
That's my word.
Did we answer this?
Kinda. I don't know.
What did I say? Anything?
Well, you were saying that like it would be really hard.
What would you do in
that happen? Yeah.
What would you do in that situation?
If I was the boy?
No, if you're
if I'm me?
Yeah.
Ooh, I get to be me.
Yes.
I love that. I love when
you're
I get to be
You're not a boy.
Me.
You don't know how boys think. So.
You're right. I don't. I wish I did. Wait, so I'm me. Am I the girl in this scenario?
No.
No. I'm just another girl that...
You're the girl with the friend, the best friend who likes the same guy.
Ugh. I mean, I would walk away and I'd be like, I would rather not deal with this because I don't like confrontation.
Yes.
But that sucks because then I would see them together if he liked her and then it would be bad for a long time.
Really?
Yeah. I still am sad about things that have happened in the second grade. And
damn.
They just develop with interest of my embarrassment level.
Really? You don't learn, like, when you look, as you get older, you don't look back and go, that was so, like, not a big deal.
Ugh, I look back and I feel like my bones are getting shaved off.
Well,
like, it's viscerally painful of things that I'm embarrassed about from the sixth grade.
Yeah, it depends on the person and how traumatized they get by situations.
Oh, I'm, if someone doesn't wave when I let them in traffic, I'm shredded. For
damn.
Days.
That's terrible.
I'm so sensitive.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I had one situation where I was like in love with this girl in high school.
Yeah.
I even wrote her a love letter and like all this stuff.
In cursive
and, like,
or nah?
Cursive.
Oh my.
I think it was in cursive.
Cute.
I think so. And I put it on her car, aww, like window. And I told all my friends about it. I was like, man, I'm just so in love. I just can't stop thinking about her. And they're like, well, have you told her? I said, yeah, I wrote her a letter. She hasn't replied to it. And I find out years later that one of my friends, like, behind my back.
No.
Yeah,
no.
Not with her.
Wait. They took the letter off the...
No.
So she'll still... Okay.
No. He just hooked up with her.
Oh, that sucks. Like, without... But it would have been worse if he took the letter.
Oh, and ripped it up?
Yeah, he can rip it up.
Yeah,
too.
Sure, for sure. That's no, but yeah.
Ripped it up.
No, but that then, if I would have found out then, I would have been like devastated.
Yeah, of course.
So pissed off. But I didn't find out. Somebody else told me about it years later.
Dang.
And I found out about it and I was like, oh, okay, that's fine. And I'm still like, he's still one of my best friends.
Where is she now, this girl? Have you like looked her up?
No, we're still...
Oh,
we're
cool, like, you still know her?
Yeah.
That's sick. Still,
we're like brother-sister now.
Cool. Our parents got married.
Yeah, exactly. So we're like technically like family.
Very good. We helped.
Yeah. It's not that big of a deal. It's a learning... it's an experience that you go through in life.
Yeah, that's probably not going to be the last time that you're in competition with somebody.
Yeah. Oh. And that's when you test real friendship.
Yeah.
You know, how you guys handle that is how you're going to handle every situation from then on out. So keep note of how that shit goes.
Yeah.
That's what I would say to this person.
For real, complete honesty.
Yeah.
Do you remember when you were 24 years old?
I think so.
Good, because this next person is 24.
Okay. Good age, I think.
I think 24 is a great age.
It's a great age.
Because it's right before 25. And 25 is when your life changes.
Oh, my God. My life's about to end.
No.
It's getting too late. It's starting to get too late for anything I want to do in my life.
No, 25, I think, is the best age out there. But I also haven't turned 30 yet. But I've heard 30 is amazing.
No.
Did you say no?
Nah. No, I mean, I don't know.
Because 25
is different.
Here's my thing. 25 is when you start to figure out what your life is. Because all the way up until then, you're still like, you don't know who you are. You don't know what you like. You're right. Trying to like figure out exactly who you are without all these external stimuli of other people's thoughts and other people's opinions. And you go, now I'm starting to think for myself. Now I'm thinking about my future. And then I heard when you're 30, things are like, now my life actually is starting, because at 28 is when it's called a Saturn return.
Yes.
And basically, right, Saturn is orbiting, I guess, for 27 years, it takes Saturn 27 years. So when you turn 28, your life starts to shift radically, whether if you've been doing good things, then it's going to be fruitful. And if you've been doing bad things, basically the world shakes you and goes, hey, you're about to turn 30. Let's fix this, because here's basically a second chance.
What?
That's
no,
what
kidding.
I read.
No. Yes. That's it's a very interesting, it depends on your perspective, because you could go different ways once you reach your 30s.
Yeah.
Like, you could, one, be very aware and learn that all that shit in your past was just not a big deal, and now you can move forward, like, not taking things so seriously and like losing a lot of stress from your life and just being like, yeah, now I'm ready to live.
Yeah.
Because you make a big deal a lot of things when you're younger. You know, everything is like, oh my God, like, and it's all, it's like dramatic and everything like that. And like, but like, or you could become very aware and learn a lot about yourself. And you're like, damn, I got a lot of shit I need to resolve within myself.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a whole like, you know, towards the way of a midlife crisis thing where like you start to like, you know, take a huge step away from everything you're doing just to figure out yourself before you move forward. And right. Which is another big step you got to have in your life. But it could be some of the hardest years of your life.
Absolutely.
Like, I feel like when I reached my 30s is when I started to like, you know, I lost this like drive of like that young drive and just wanted to make my dreams come true. Like it became like, because I started to realize a lot of that stuff was like a cover up from me wanting to make my dreams come true was like filling this void that I had to fill that I never dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even know it was an issue until I reached my 30s. And I was like, oh shit. Like I actually have like a lot of stuff I need to figure out before I actually move forward. So it's kind of like, yeah, it just depends on the person.
I feel like regardless of person, everyone goes through that because like some people could be 24, some people could be 34, some people could be 54.
Yeah.
But everyone at some point has that kind of self evaluation of like, oh, there is something that I'm trying to fill.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what everything is trying to fill something.
Yeah, totally. And then when I was like 22, I had this like, by the time I'm 30, I'm going to be doing like this, that. And you reach your 30s and you're not doing none of those things.
Dude, that's how it's like when I was in high school and I was like, when I'm 25, I'm going to have a house. I'm going to be married. I'm going to like have all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, I reached 25 and I was like, LOL.
Yeah.
Never. Never. Nowhere,
yeah, yeah. You never want to do that.
Like, but that's also like, I was from Florida, and if I would have stayed in Florida, that's kind of the trajectory.
Right.
Like 25-year-olds have all of that. But when I moved out here, I was like, oh, timelines are very different in the entertainment industry.
Totally.
And like, I can't even say like when I'm 30, I want X, Y, and Z. It's like, I don't have timelines anymore. It's just doing what you want to do when you want to do it.
Yeah, totally.
Because it's like, those are arbitrary. It doesn't really matter if you hit them or not, because if you hit them, cool, you're going to make more like goals for yourself.
Yeah.
But if you don't, you're going to feel bad about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So just don't.
Yeah. Just don't. Yeah. Well, what was the question again?
We didn't even read it. Now we're going to take a quick break while Daniel Cloud Campos, why do I say your whole name? I don't know. While Cloud gives us an extra piece of advice you can find on MeganBatune.com/podcast, and we'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Let's get this quest.
Quest.
I'm 24 years old and I'm still living at home with my parents, and here's why. I graduated college with a biology degree, but when I started working in the field, I realized I couldn't see myself doing it as a career. Now I'm stuck with $100,000 in student loans and a biology degree that I don't want to use. I have an interest in radio broadcasting and would also like to be an event planner. My thoughts are obviously all over the place, but that's not even my main concern. I really just feel like I can't grow while I'm still living at home. Do you have any advice about choosing the right career for you or how to take that first step moving away from parents? From In Debt and In Doubt. First of all, $100,000 in student loans.
I can see how that just...
Did you go to college?
No.
Did you ever want to?
No way. Never. I never had a thought in my mind, ever.
Wait, so out of high school, you were like, you already had seen that dancing thing in the parking lot of the bowling alley, and you were like, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, it's not like I was made a goal that I'm going to do this the rest of my life. I just did it. I didn't think about where I was going to go or what. I was just like, every day I woke up, I want to dance. Like, I just danced every day. And I didn't even think, so college and any, I didn't even think I was going to finish high school. I didn't even think about school that much, actually. I just know I had to go to it. And so I went to it, and like nobody in my family graduated.
Uh-huh. Like, high school?
High school. And I was the first one, I told my mom, I'll be one of your only kids to graduate. So I did it for my mom. But I barely graduated. I didn't even show up to my graduation. That's how little I cared about like that thing.
Yeah.
And by that time I was like already doing doing a show at Universal Studios.
What show?
It was a show called Street Braids.
What happened in it?
It was like a four-man. Intense. Yeah, it was like a four-man group. And we all just did routines, and like we come out, and it's at Universal Studios in the New York area, and we bring out linoleum, roll it out, and a sound speaker, and like we just gather a crowd, and we just dance for them. We do a little show.
So that was your first job?
That was like my first job, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. No, why did I like a telemarketing thing for like 2 weeks?
How was that?
It was the worst thing ever. It's terrible. It's like probably the worst thing you could do.
What was the training like? Like, what was your first day? They were like, here's a script. Don't let them hang up.
Yeah. They have rebuttals. Like, when they say something, well, I'm not really interested. There's something that says, I'm not really interested. And then there's a response.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's so robotic. And, like, I'm not great at reading. So it looks like I'm reading something. And I didn't memorize anything. And then if you get a sale, everybody's names are on the board. And everybody, you know, and when you get a sale, they go up and they mark it.
Do you get commission if you sell more?
Yeah, if you get commission, yeah.
I hate that. I hate commission.
Yeah, that's how you make the money.
Yeah.
By sales. But
I'd rather do something else.
No, it was terrible. It was the worst thing. I never sold anything.
You never made one sale?
Exactly.
I wouldn't make any sales either.
No.
I used to work at American Apparel, and it was commission-based. If you sold more, you got more shifts. I was working like one day a week by the end. And I was just closing because I don't really like people very much. And so I was like, I was working the fitting rooms because I could just like be away from everybody for a while. And then I see them for a second and then I lock them up. Like, it's good.
Yeah.
And then, oh my God, I loved closing because I'm super OCD in particular.
Oh.
And I know that you're also particular. I want to talk about that too.
Okay, cool.
But I'm so particular with everything. So even like in my own closet, I like finger space my hangers.
I could see that. I know.
It was so wild though at American Apparel. They made us line up the neckline of all of the t-shirts with all of the hangers so that if you looked at it from like a side profile view, all of the necklines were also lined up.
What?
For what reason? People walk in.
And you did it.
I loved doing it.
And you loved doing it.
And I loved it.
That's what the reason was.
I was a machine. I was so good at closing. I should have gotten commission for closing.
Yeah, you should have. That just shows you weren't meant for that. You were meant for something more.
Yeah.
It was unappreciated.
Something.
Yeah.
Weirder. I relate to Monk a lot because his life.
To what?
There's a TV show called Monk.
Oh, yeah.
And he is so OCD. And I remember one time I was talking to this guy, and it was so funny because I was telling him about like my OCD tendencies, and he had sent a clip of Monk. It was like a GIF of Monk, and he goes into a doctor's office, and there was a bunch of vials of blood from other people's samples for some reason. And there's other people's blood, but he needed them to all be level. So he starts mixing other people's vials.
Oh my God.
Until they're one level.
That's a great setup.
That's so amazing.
Oh shit. I didn't see that.
It's
just because he couldn't stand it.
Yeah.
He just like mixed people's blood.
I was like, that's me when I'm closing.
Yeah. That's cool. Well, yeah. I don't know. I mean, what to say about that, about the whole.
When did college,
$300,000, damn.
That's too much money. When did you move out of your house?
I was 15.
15?
Well, I was failing school because my dad or nobody ever took me to school. And like, it was like, And I had a very hard time waking up in the morning. Like, I still do.
Yeah.
Like, I snooze like 1,000 times before I wake up. Like, I set my alarm like 2 hours before I want to wake up.
Oh, my God.
Just to get up. But so I developed that since I was a kid. So I was always late. I was missing school all the time. And then I had one of my best friends at the time live right down the street from the school. So I moved in with them when I was 15.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And then, that's when I moved out of my family's home. And then during like summertime in high school, I would move to Orlando to live with my crew.
Right.
And there was like 9 of us in a one bedroom.
In a one bedroom?
Yeah, it was amazing.
What was the bed situation?
What was the living situation?
It was crazy. So right when you walk in, there's a door right in front of you, and that was my room, and it was a closet. And I made like a little bed in there for myself because I was like the smallest. And then like,
did you sleep standing up?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I had a strap so against the wall that I hold my forehead. No, but yeah. And then there was one bedroom. There was one bed in the bedroom, and then a mattress underneath that slid out.
Oh.
And then like 4 other people just slept on the floor.
For how long?
For like a whole summer.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And then you guys would all wake up and go practice together.
Yeah, and we all worked at Universal then.
Jeez, so you never like had alone time?
No. No.
Did you like that?
Yeah, I had a blast. It was amazing.
Whoa.
Yeah. We were always doing something, we were always dancing, we're always hanging out. Like we upgraded from like eating like Burger King to eating at Denny's. And that was like for us, like it was like an upgrade. We're like, yo, we're eating at Denny's now, y'all.
Oh.
How much was your rent? Do you remember?
I think it was like $900.
For everyone?
For everybody. But
so
no, they didn't know we were. There was 9 of us in there. It was only supposed to be like one person or two people. But there was nine of us.
One time I went to Vegas for Hip Hop International. We were competing 1 year.
Yeah.
And it was five or six girls. And we were so broke. Like we had to get to HHI. And so it was like this really gross motel. And we got one queen size bed. And all of us slept like sardines. Like one person was like this way, was like head to the headboard. And the next person was feet to the headboard.
Right.
Alternating. 5.
That's fun.
Tiny. What? Why were we doing that?
I don't know. There's something about it I like though, because it reminds me of like kindergarten when everybody's nap time.
Do you remember in preschool that it was like a rainbow tent and you would pull it up over your head and everyone run under it? And
oh,
it was
yeah.
A big mushroom and you sit down and you were under this amazing thing for a while.
Parachute.
Yeah, is that what it's called?
Parachute. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's called parachute. I didn't know that.
I love that. The I went to a,
that was
speaking
really cool.
of Vegas, and a parachute. I went to a Cirque show for the Beatles and they did that with... Stop.
Oh, love?
I talk about this all the time. Yeah, I went to it and they had a parachute, but it was, I guess it was just white or blue or whatnot. And then underneath it, once everyone in the audience had to hold it like that.
Right.
And then so you were under it and they were projecting these different color blue lights and it was waving from the air. So it looked like you were underwater. And I forgot what song they had played, but I was like, oh my God, this is the pinnacle of my life. My life is going down. It's a
belt.
When
did that happen in this show?
I don't remember. Time didn't exist for that show.
Really? Did you really like that show?
I loved it.
Off.
It was
Damn.
So good.
I walked out.
Because I love light. What'd you say?
I walked out of it.
I'm not cutting out that silence.
I'm silent. But the thing is,
I don't know if I saw it. Because did they redo it?
I don't know. Ever. I saw it last year.
Okay. I think they redid it. And everybody's talking about the new... I think maybe they were talking about the new one. Because I think I saw earlier, like the first version of it.
What, did they have the parachute?
I don't think they had a parachute.
Why did you not like it?
It was a circle stage, right?
Yeah.
I don't remember why I don't like it. That's why. I don't like it.
I feel like you're hard to impress, though, because you're so talented and you have such a specific artistic mind that, like, everything that you do is so well thought out and so well done and so creative. And you think of, you play with light a lot and visuals a lot. So I'm sure it's probably hard to get impressed.
No, but how does it compare to O?
I didn't see that one.
O is like my favorite one, for sure. Like
Why is it so good?
I don't know. It's visually, the way it ends. It actually ends with a hot air balloon, except same type of thing. But it's like, I don't know. It just the feeling you get from it, from the world, and like, cause it's the water one, and like the stage like turns into water. It's amazing.
No.
Yeah,
that's
really
pretty cool.
The Beatles, I think you saw the original one that came out in 2006, and then for their 10-year anniversary, they redid it.
Okay, then...
They must have done a lot.
Then I got to see it again because
it was
I heard
good.
It, and everybody says it's amazing, but I'm like, you saw the same show?
Right.
Because like, I walked out of that one, and I thought it was terrible.
Jeez.
Yeah. I just hear stories about working in Cirque and like doing 8 shows a week like that.
Oh,
never, it would kill me.
That's why I could never do tour.
Yeah.
Because like, you're doing the same dance kind of mindlessly for 8 months or more.
Right.
And I was in a tour bus for only 4 days. And I was like, time is gone now. Like, I feel crazy.
Really?
Yeah. Because you're sleeping in like a coffin.
Yeah.
Like an actual coffin,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You don't know what time it is because you have a like a delineator kind of like that shoves you away.
Uh-huh.
Like when you're sleeping, there's little buttons on the side.
Yeah, you'll snap them in.
Yeah, you snap the button so that you can't see the outside or like people can't walk in on you sleeping or whatnot.
And you're in a coffin.
And it's so, it's like dead silent. It's pitch black.
Right.
Even, I mean, you could be sleeping until like 3 p.m. and it would be dark as heck. You wouldn't
know. Yeah, because they had double layered. They even the area closed.
Yes.
Off. And then, yeah. I liked, to go on tour, you have to be at a certain specific age with this, like, this hunger to just be on tour and just traveling the world. Like,
right.
To
I mean,
do
that's,
it.
That's the cool part about it is, like, going to see these places that you would usually never get to go to for essentially free. I mean, you're getting paid for it, but like you're giving up a lot of your life
totally.
And like privacy and time and
yeah. But it's a stable job, like, and you're gonna do it for the next year or
true.
Whatever. So you're like, I don't have to worry for the next year. I'm gonna see the world. I'm gonna experience all this with these new people.
Yeah.
But once you do it once, you're over it. You don't want to do it again.
Right.
I mean, for me, like I was.
I mean, I did it for 4 days and I was done.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't think that's you.
No.
That's not what you want.
I feel
to do.
Like it was, but even when I moved to LA to be a dancer, that wasn't something that I wanted to do. I never wanted to like dance for Bieber or anything like that.
Right.
I really liked doing music videos, except for how long they were. But like, I was like, it's in and out. Like you do one rehearsal, one shoot day, and you're done.
Yeah.
Other than, I mean, film would be the best. Like when Step Up was my first job.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Like.
First dance job.
Really?
Ever.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. And then I started doing like Spanish award shows after that.
Spanish award show.
The natural cycle.
No. You know, that's the trajectory of any dancer.
Yeah.
You do Step Up and then you do Gloria Estefan special. let's end this question.
Yeah.
I guess,
how did you get out of it?
Get out of home.
Get out of home and where he said pursue something, right?
Yeah,
pursue?
He's wondering about like choosing the right career or stepping or moving away from the parents. And maybe let's answer to doing both of those, like getting away from home in order to do the career that he really wants. Because he's a biology degree. He has a biology degree. But he wants to do radio and broadcasting and be an event planner. So like, what do you do if you have this degree and you have $100,000 in student loans? And you could probably get a job in this field, but you don't. You want to do something artistic. What do? Do you fall back on something that you know that you could support yourself? Or do you kind of take a leap of faith and go, I'm going to make this work?
You got to try it. At least you got to try it. And you have to actually try it like full on for a bit just to see, because it takes time to do all that stuff. But you got to... I've never been in a situation like that because as what we just discussed, like I've just always followed what my passion was from the beginning. And it wasn't having anything to do with a career. It's just something I like to do. I mean, but being in debt that much, and I mean, it is a tough situation that I don't know how to shine light on. Like the only thing I just say is just to follow what you're passionate about, because that is the only gift you could give yourself in life.
Yeah.
But
I guess most people,
how to do it is hard.
Most people could hear that and go, yeah, obviously really great advice, but how could they do that if they are scared? You know, if someone's like, well, I don't know if it's going to work out, why would I throw away all this stuff to follow my passion? Like, what can you say in your life that, I mean, it's kind of hard because everything is like worked out for the most part if people follow their passion in some way or the other, because they either get successful or they at least tried, and now you don't have that thing in the back of your mind like, what if I did?
Yeah.
Either way, if you fail or you don't, you still went for it and you have an answer.
Right. I mean, it is your thoughts that rule your life for sure. Like, and if you're if you're feeling stuck, like, how do I do it? How do I, and you're questioning, like, you know, and you're putting that type of energy towards what you want to do, like, you automatically put a wall in front of you. Like, I don't know actually how to answer that question.
I mean, I guess honest. You did by following your passion.
I mean, but that, yeah, but it's such a vague, like, response, like, follow your passion. Yeah, that's easy. But
yeah, we get
it's
it.
Like, yeah.
But it's true for, I mean, it's true for anybody. Everybody's going to have different passions. But it's, I think what you said once that has always, like, made me think is do what you would want to do for 14 hours a day.
I said that?
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's really nice. But everybody's scared. Everybody's scared. Even people following their passion is scared. Like,
oh, yeah. None constantly. Of us know what we're doing.
No.
I think we should be
day.
Very clear.
Yeah.
There was a quote that I had printed out for a piece of art from Ricky Gervais, and it was like, you're going to help me out with this one. Something along the lines of what I've learned about everyone is none of us know what we're doing.
Yeah.
Something like that. Let's see what it actually
is. It's like the day-by-day thing, but we, yeah. It's
it was free.
People always ask me all the time. They're like, they write me all the time. They go, how are you, like, living life to the fullest? And, not, and like, you have, like, no idea. Like, I like, yeah, I'm doing things that I love, but it's like I'm struggling doing it.
Right.
Too. And it's like, it's scary every single day because I am relying just on myself.
Yeah.
So it's like you. Like, every day you're developing your company, but you're the one running it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you have those thoughts all the time that you could fail.
Of course.
Yeah.
So, absolutely. It's like if something goes wrong or it doesn't continue to go this way, like, what am I going to fall back on? There's
totally.
Always that.
But what I find, I think what's really interesting is, like, when those feelings and those fears, like, that is showing evidence that you're actually alive because you're having these anxiety and these feelings constantly happening. And that's why we have emotions, is to feel these things. If you don't, if you just walk away and do a comfortable life, you're just like, you're just existing. You're not feeling anything anymore.
Right.
Except for resentment towards yourself that you never follow your dream and you have to sit with that. But that's...
That would be horrific.
That'd be terrible.
Yeah. Don't do that.
No. Like, face the fear and, like, go, like, do the shit that you want to do. Like, and it's going to be scary, but it'll pay off in the end once you, like, at the end of it all and you're like, damn. At least I fucking tried.
Right. And that's, I don't know if you guys are like this, but it is definitely my issue is when it's in school or even in my Pilates class the other day. It was just a flashback to school because I usually knew the answer, but I was too scared to raise my hand on the off chance that I was wrong.
Right.
I didn't want to be ridiculed and embarrassed by myself and my peers and everybody in my head. And so at Pilates the other day, my instructor was like, can anyone tell me how many vertebrae you have? And I was like, 33, under my breath. But, like, I didn't want to say
anything.
Say
it. Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Like, he was like, anybody? Anybody? Silence. And I was like, 30. I know the answer, but I'm not going to say it. He was like, okay. And then someone raised their hand and was like, 28? And I was like, it's 33 in my head. And then he was like, no? Anybody else? No one? I'm still quiet because I cannot be wrong,
you
even cannot. In a Pilates class. And so he was like, you have 33. And I was like, I knew it.
Oh, man.
I said that. You didn't hear me. So.
Yeah, you just don't speak up.
I don't.
You don't say,
just on the off chance I'm not right, even when I do. But, like, that feeling times a million is if you want to do something and then you don't go for it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you don't, I don't want to feel that. For me, I don't want to feel that for you. So I would say, go for it. Try to do this radio broadcasting event planning thing. Give it all, like Cloud said. And then if you can't, at least you have the biology degree. You can work in that field and pay off your loans.
And the more you think about it, the more it'll attract into your life. And before you know it, you're surrounded by all the people doing the things you want to do.
Yeah.
Like, it's true. It's crazy how that happens. You just got to think about it every day. Like, yeah. I sometimes think about, like, I'm like, damn, I haven't done anything. And then I think about it. I'm like, actually, I've done
everything
that I've ever set out myself to do.
Yeah.
Without even knowing it.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of things that you're doing, before we wrap up here, what is going on in the life of Cloud?
What is going on? Tons of things. Too many things to actually make anything happen.
you
know what I mean? Like, you're juggling, like, the way you juggle shit, it's like...
You do so much, but you finished a whole album, right, of music that you made?
Yeah, like, 2 years ago, I decided to, like, pursue music, which is a passion of mine for the past, like, over a decade now, that I just pushed aside because of fear, what we were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think I was, like, cut out for it, but I really wanted to do it, but I was scared.
Yeah.
But then I was like, fuck it. I'm going to just try it out. And I made it. Yeah, I recorded a whole album now. I built a recording studio in my backyard. And like,
so
you've
sick.
Seen it.
Yeah.
And I made my first music video now. And like, that's going to be coming out soon. And it'll probably be up before this podcast is out.
Probably. So yeah. Go watch it when you're listening to this. Go watch it.
Can you give the name of it so people can look it up, or is that not out yet?
No, it's called Here I Go. That's the first music video. But the album is called Nightwalker. And I've been doing that. I've been writing a feature film called, it's an animated musical.
Can you talk about it or no?
Yeah, well, no, I could give it, it'd be pretty much in one line. It's a chicken who doesn't want to be a chicken anymore.
It's so cute. I've seen your drawings for it. It's incredible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I shared it to you and Amanda that night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
Yeah. But just juggling all that stuff is like, and then also trying to maintain a career as a director, or like performer.
Right.
It's like, yeah, it's like a lot to, sometimes I wish I only had one passion.
That's what I think.
Yeah, right?
It's like, this is so much. How am I going to be good at all of them if I don't put all of my energy into one of them?
Yeah.
Like, if I could only do, if I did one thing, I'd be like, oh, I'm the best.
But since
I like to do so many things and I'm not the best at any of them,
I'm like, okay,
I'm passable at all of them, but like none of them, I'm not like the best.
Yeah, but the thing you have to think about is that you're never going to be the best.
Right.
At anything, no matter how hard you try to do it. There's always going to be somebody better.
Thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
I'm the best.
But the best is also relative. Somebody could think you're trash, and another person can think you're the best thing to walk the earth.
Totally. That's what's beautiful about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your favorite thing that you've directed so far in your entire life?
There's a couple of them, but one that comes to mind is this Paramore video called Now.
Cool.
It wasn't necessarily how it came out. It was just the experience. It was the first time I was like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
That's
like, of
sick.
Directing and stuff like that. But
like, on set, you were like, this is it.
Yeah, it was just so fun. A bunch of kids running around blowing stuff up. And like, I mean, big kids, you know, everybody's like, you know, it was a war fight scene. But it was like, but just how focused and sharp and a different person I became that day.
Yeah.
It just was like, okay, this is who I'm meant to be. Like, it was like one of those clear, you know, moments in my life. It wasn't necessarily the most, like, my favorite work I've done.
Yeah.
But in terms of like the experience wise, that one.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Dang. Where can people find you online? What's your Instagram? What's your Twitter?
I don't use Twitter anymore, I think. I don't know if it's even active. But it's all the
your
Twitter
YouTube
is
channel.
Dan Cloud Campos. YouTube is Daniel Cloud Campos.
Let me guess what Instagram is.
Dan Cloud Campos.
If you have a sticky situation or a burning concern, email us at justatipshow@gmail.com and be sure to sign up Sleepless in Seattle style so we don't out your true persona. Also, rate us 5 stars because based off my new pet nickname, let me remind you, Pooch Face Killer, I'm more unstable than I thought. And what will remedy that? Only 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Very, very good. Thank you so much for coming
by.
Guys.
Thank you so much for having me. Yes, bye.
Yes, bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.